Blessed uprising, beautiful people. It's time to rise and shine. Whatever time it is and wherever you may be, rise in your power and shine your light. Welcome to the Fruits of Life, where we recognize that life is a blessing and we consciously direct our thoughts, energy, and action to produce good fruits. What fruits are you currently producing? Hold on to that thought. Let it marinate within your mind and make sure you respond. Send me a message and let me know what fruits are you currently producing. I am your host, Empress Omega Fruits, and I welcome you to today's episode titled, Who Am I? This is an opportunity for you to get to know me and the Fruits of Life family, literally. It's a family affair, y'all. I have a special guest on deck today. He is 14 years of age, a freshman in high school, a drummer, and my first fruit, my firstborn, Elijah Tafari. He'll be interviewing me today. But before we get to that, let's sound the drum. At Fruits of Life, we like to share with you because in unity, there is strength. So I like to share with you some news or some events within the community just to help make sure that you are aware. And we like to do so by first sharing an affirmation with you. This one is from Morocco. And it says, instruction in youth is like engraving in stone. Again, instruction in youth is like engraving in stone. What do you think about that affirmation today? What kinds of engravings are you making in the youths of today? In your children, in your community? It's very vital for us to engrave in stone so that we may still see those fruits and those teachings, that wisdom, generations down the line. Just like we see the hieroglyphs or the metuneter of ancient Egypt this day. Just like we see the pyramids, just like we see the Sphinx. Let us see the fruits of our instruction and wisdom engraved in our youths like stone. And with that, I like to share with you, Striving Together Equals Progress, also known as the STEP program, has a fundraiser for their building project. We have a family skate night scheduled for Friday, May 25th of this year. And it will be between 6 to 8 p.m. at Branch Brook Park Skating Rink in Newark, New Jersey. For tickets, let me know, okay? Drop me a line, send me an email, send me a message. That's fruitsoflife@gmail.com or IG. You know where to find me. Children tickets are $12. Adult tickets are $15. Also, on June 2nd, at 7 p.m. on a Saturday, the Zawadi African Dance and Drum is holding the 24th Annual Dance Concert at Essex County Community College. Adult tickets are $20, seniors are $12, and children under 12 years old are also $12. You can contact 908-380-8557 and speak to Karen Miles for information and tickets. Now, the Umoja Dance Studio on Springfield Avenue in Vauxhall, also found at www.umojadance.com. That's U-M-O-J-A, is having their summer dance camp between July 2nd and July 20th. That's 3 weeks of dance camp covering modern, jazz, hip-hop, African dance, arts and crafts, capoeira, yoga, for ages between 5 and 16, Mondays through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. For registration, call 908-258-0852. 3-9 or 973-280-2294. And no, I'm not getting paid for these advertisements. I just want to let you know, because as I said, in strength, there is unity. And here at the Fruits of Life, it's all about empowerment, baby, right? But now, if you have an affiliate program and would like to form a relationship to help promote your business, your product, or service, hit me up. Let's build, people. All right, now give thanks for your attention. And we're going to move right into our interview with the young man, Elijah Tafari. Elijah, are you there? Are you on the line? You ready to make this happen?
Yes, I'm here. Peace and blessings. So we know that you're a vegan, plant-based chef. So what are your favorite tasty plant-based meals to make?
Blessed love, Elijah. Give thanks and welcome. I'm so happy that you're a part of this process, and I'm really excited for your questions. To start off, I make a variety of foods, and primarily they are including savory, some spicy, and sweet. I love those flavors in the foods. Some of my dishes are inspired by Ethiopian cuisine. And I also enjoy, coconut curries. So let's give an example of a dish, for example, right? So I would make quinoa and wild rice salad with onions, peppers, cilantro, maybe even some raw kale. Spice it up nice and maybe curry up some chickpeas in a coconut sauce. And I would make, for example, roasted Brussels sprouts with butternut squash. Yum. And more likely a kale salad. A raw kale salad on the side of that. So we try to have a salad with our meal. If it's not a kale salad, a mixed greens salad with the homemade dressing. So I like to make some baked dishes as well, desserts, whether they are baked or raw. And that's another thing, at this stage in my journey, I incorporate raw dishes. I love making some raw zucchini noodles with various types of dressings or sauces. I enjoy soup. Lord, I really enjoy making soup, packing it in with all kinds of nutrients. And I love ground provision. So we're talking about cassava, different types of yams, maybe plantains. And I always like to have some nice fresh leafy greens with that. So the variety is vast, sometimes even though I had moved very much away from using soy as an alternative, I still like to use products like Beyond Meat, for example. I still like to have burgers, sometimes I make them from scratch, sometimes, in a hurry, I purchase some stuff. Fresh juice, that's another thing, incorporating fresh juices and smoothies. So there definitely is a variety of foods that we incorporate within our plate, as a 100% plant-based. I found that now we eat very much of a variety of food, and sometimes when we go out to eat and we like something we ate, I come home and try to reproduce it, so that we can really enjoy that flavor anytime.
Those meals sound really, really good. So when did you start eating and cooking vegan for yourself?
That's a really great question, Elijah, and it will really help people understand my journey to where I am now in terms of a plant-based lifestyle. My journey basically began about 20 years ago. I noticed that my family suffered from digestive issues, particularly my mom, so she was in and out of the hospital when I was in high school. And eventually when I went into college, I didn't necessarily learn this in classes in college, but I had a friend of mine who mentioned vegetarian to me. And I was like, what is that? My experience in terms of food was solely meat-based, you know? Iced peas and meat, maybe some iceberg lettuce, maybe some canned corn, and some Vienna sausage. So when he mentioned this to me, I started looking a little more into it, you know, researching on my own, what is a vegetarian? And I started learning that there is another way to eat. And eventually I found and learned that the diseases that usually are referred to as genetic are more so lifestyle based. So if we change what we consume, we can change the outcome. We can change our health conditions and our genetics, right? So I began to make changes and slowly, gradually releasing pork, for example, releasing beef, you know, gradually releasing different forms of meat, releasing seafood, releasing dairy, releasing eggs, you know, and it was truly a gradual process. It was not immediate. It was absolutely gradual. I did not know how to cook, so my first attempts were really not that great. I started to learn how to cook, or I started to cook when I started learning about being a vegetarian. And I was in college then. I had transferred schools and I came to live at home with my mom again. And basically, I was around, you know, what she was cooking and what I was attempting to cook as well. And that time I was still eating chicken breast. And then eventually I let go of that. So it really had been a gradual process that ultimately was inspired by learning that a different lifestyle can help promote health, healing, and longevity.
I imagine cooking all of these fancy vegan meals would take a whole lot of time. So how was it making delicious vegan plant-based meals for your children's lunch every day?
You ask some really great questions. Well, that was a journey and a process. I really did not get into meal prepping, advanced prepping around, you know, that time or when I started having children. Except when I was pregnant, I would prepare some dishes and make sure, you know, they were in the freezer. You know, so in my recovery time, your dad would have access to certain foods, and it would just make it easier for all of us when it comes to meal preparing meals. But for the most part, I learned by doing and experimenting, you know. So I do remember, you know, morning times were sometimes hectic, you know, because depending on what stage in life we were in, sometimes I was preparing a breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the morning when most folks are maybe just having breakfast. So that was a challenge at times. In that time, let's see, I wasn't pregnant with your brother yet, you know, so it was just me and you, and we were traveling to the Bronx from New Jersey because I was teaching. And so I needed to make sure that you and I both had our breakfast to eat along the journey early in the morning. We had our lunch for when that time come. And then later on, we had some dinner as well, because I was also taking master classes or classes toward my master's degree. So it was very time consuming. But what I tried to do is always balance it out, make sure there was water, maybe a fruit juice, if that, you know, definitely fruit. And then a lunch, you know, so there was always something to snack on as well as the lunch, you know, sometimes depending again on the age, you know, it varied as to what dishes were being prepared. But, you know, I really took pride in making sure that your lunch bag was filled with a nice variety of tasty foods that you enjoyed, so that, you know, you and eventually your brother wouldn't feel subconscious about what you're eating, you know, because in most cases you guys were the only plant-based, you know, or vegans in the school. So the majority of the children would kind of be looking over, why aren't you having lunch from the school, you know, what is that, you know. When there were birthdays in school, I needed to make sure you had some treat, you know, some
muffin or some cupcake or, you know, some treat that you can partake in and not feel bad that you were not consuming what everybody else was consuming. You can still take part. There were often times that I would actually make things for the class, especially in the younger grades when it was more feasible. And then when I got the kind of like a hang of it, eventually I was just preparing, you know, certain meals the day before, you know, and packaging things the day before so that the morning could be a little more seamless. Breakfast, oftentimes what we had was Irish, which some people call porridge. And I just got a good hang of making a good variety of them. So we weren't just having cornmeal. You know, we had banana porridge. We had peanut porridge. You know, sometimes I would have, you know, batata, which is a Spanish yam type of Irish. You know, we just had a variety. Millet, you know. I remember making these tofu balls and it had like shredded carrot and, you know, it was just like these little balls that I would bake and it basically would be like a protein ball. This is before, you know, the big craze of energy balls came out. You know, and sometimes it was, you know, a pasta salad, you know, loaded with different veggies. I remember slicing those grapes in half for you guys when it was when we had to have you in daycare settings. Or, you know, just really the whole process evolved with each stage that you guys needed certain dishes, certain meals, depending on, you know, what age you were in, what grade you were in, and what was going on in that particular time in our lives, you know? So I really tried to make things balanced and always tried to include you guys in the kitchen as well. And even to this day, I still ask your brother, what would you like for lunch, you know? Lately, it's been pretty regular, you know? At some point, it was, you know, some fruit. He loves grapes. Some patties, you know, so I'll make like veggie patties or lentil patties or chickpea patties with vegan cheese. That's a big hit. You know, navy bean patties with vegan cheese, huge hit, you know. And sometimes it'll just be some burgers, you know, I'll make sure I throw sauerkraut in there. Yeah, so I tried to create a variety. And simple foods too, you know, so it's not like you have all this crazy looking food that nobody can recognize or, you know, you can't really enjoy in a school setting. Yeah, so the idea was really to research and to play with different recipes so that we can find dishes that you and your brother can enjoy. And I'm sure there were some times that you guys just, you know, kind of wanted to look the other way. Because that's just human nature, you know, when you're in a community of people that and you stand out, you know, sometimes it's a challenge. So I'm going to flip that question for you. How was your experience in school? Being most likely the only vegan or the only plant-based youth, you know, most likely the only Rasta in the school, you know, with a big old tam of locks. You know, what was that like for you? You know, so this is a two-part question. Speak to me about how food was for you, what might be your favorite lunch that was prepared for you, and also what is it like to stand out, to be different?
That's a very interesting question. Well, being the only vegan in the school actually wasn't so bad. People weren't really, they didn't really make fun of me for eating what I ate. They just saw it and they liked it, actually. Like, it wasn't a problem for me. It wasn't a problem for them. I ate what I ate. They ate what they ate. And, like, being normal, it isn't always a good thing. Sometimes it's good to be different and stand out because that's what makes you special.
Well, I'm really proud of you, Elijah, for standing firm, you know, because sometimes, you know, growing up in a setting where you are a minority, and in your case, you know, the only youth with, you know, dreadlocks and a big, you know, big bag, you know, big tam of locks and the only vegan, you know, the only one that really didn't do the usual and common things that most of the youth around you did, you know, you really I'm proud of you for really standing firm and not feeling, you know, swayed in any kind of way, not feeling persuaded in any way. And I'm thankful, too, that you didn't feel any pressures from your peers. Yeah, I know Hannibal shared some stories with me often where he would be sharing out his food to the other youths that would ask him questions of what he was eating. So I'm really proud for both of you to just be yourself, you know, in any environment, regardless of what, you know. So I really do give thanks for that strength.
Did you enjoy the process of birthing your first child, Hannibal? I liked Howard from home.
Well, Hannibal I liked was the second child. Remember, you're my firstborn. but he definitely was my first home birth. He now is 10 years of age, and I really enjoyed both pregnancies. Give thanks that I carry well. I don't tend to get too sick, and I stay more or less active throughout each pregnancy. So I really enjoyed each pregnancy. And having Hannibal at home was an absolutely beautiful experience, because my first experience in the hospital wasn't so nice. My delivery was induced, and you know, it was just very difficult. You know, I was younger and less experienced and with less support. So with having Hannibal at home, I had the wonderful experience of having a midwife, which was very different than having a regular OB. You know, it was much more nurturing. I had a sister close to me that participated as my doula, so she helped me during my labor. The day that Hannibal was born, you and I actually were in the park, and I really didn't realize I was in labor. but in retrospect, I kind of feel like I was going through the preparations of labor the weekend before he was born. And you know, so his birth at home was absolutely comfortable. I mean, it's a totally different experience when you're home in a comfortable environment with minimal to no interventions, and the only people around you are people that you have agreed to be in the room, you know, in the space that provides you the support, you know, that a woman, a mother needs within that time. You know, to have him right there with me the whole time and not being concerned of what's being done to him in a back room or what have you was definitely a wonderful experience. Honestly, when I started feeling the labor pains, I was in active labor. You were the only one there, Elijah, and you were a huge help even though you were 4 years of age. You helped me, you know, get what I needed, you know, out from under the bed and, you know, just prepare the bed as I needed to. You know, you helped run the water in the bathtub. You know, you helped me just by being present and following instructions very well. You know, you always have been very attentive and very well behaved, you know, like you follow directions well. So you were like my first doula and you are very, very accommodating. You did have some questions, you know, along the way, and I answered them as best as I could in the moment. But ultimately Hannibal was born in a very short period of time. He was born about 45 minutes from when I first felt the initial pains of labor. And, you know, it was just very freeing to know that we as women are capable of birthing. And sometimes we forget that internal power. We forget that legacy, you know, that we have been groomed with, that we grow with. You know, we forget that connection we have, you know, to the Creator, that this is part of our role as women, you know. And in the hospital, you don't really feel that power, you know. It feels like power is relinquished to, you know, the medical physicians, or, you know, the nurses, the staff, you know, the industry. and you know, at home, you are absolutely and completely empowered. So it was a wonderful experience. And I'm thankful that I was surrounded with the people who I needed within that time that helped me bring forward a child at home.
Wow, that sounds like a really great experience. Would you do it again?
Yeah, it really was a great experience, and I would absolutely do it again. Given the circumstances are positive, you know, my health is strong, my body is fit, you know, there are no risks at all associated with my pregnancy, I would absolutely do it again. No question. And one point that I forgot to mention was that the midwife actually didn't make it to the home birth. She came after. She was coming in from New York. So she did make it after to, you know, assist in, you know, checking Hannibal, you know, birthing the placenta, make sure the placenta was intact, checking me out. But yeah, basically it was, you know, you for the beginning stages of labor. It was my sister Heteru, my doula, and it was Hannibal's dad. And we birthed that baby. So yeah, I would absolutely do it again.
All right. So overall, would you recommend hospital birth or natural birth?
As long as a woman is healthy, and has no potential health risks, and is having a normal pregnancy, I would highly recommend a home birth over a hospital birth. Especially in our communities, you know, Latinas or folks in the Hispanic, the Spanish speaking community, Black women, we tend to be, how do you say, we tend to be put in a situation where our voice and our choice in the hospitals when it pertains to our wombs doesn't matter. As I was saying earlier, in terms of, you know, relinquishing our power, oftentimes that's what happens, even because of fear that is imposed upon women in that type of setting, in a hospital setting. So I feel that birthing is a very natural experience, and we've been birthing since the beginning of time. And again, it's something that connects us totally to the Creator, and it's the closest thing to God, I like to say, in terms of being able to have this beautiful being cultivating within our own bodies and being able to birth through our own bodies as well. So we have the power to do so. And if a woman has, if a woman is able to remove the fear out of her mind and tap into that instinctive nature of being able to bring forward life within her strength and all her power, because it is something natural that occurs, that that something that occurs naturally within women, I definitely recommend a home birth over a hospital. Absolutely and totally, you know. It really is like a rites of passage into womanhood, into motherhood, you know. Although you, Elijah, were born in the hospital, and although it was induced, I did not take any pain medication. And oftentimes women are afraid of feeling the pain of birth, you know. We're afraid of feeling the intensity of the contractions, the labor pains, and that really is not something to fear, you know. It's really a process, right? When we recognize that oftentimes when we experience some level of pain, you know, we come out on the other side triumphant, you know. And in this particular case, we come out on the other side with a human being, something that, you know, it has been designed within our being, an extension of ourselves and our mate, you know, our partner. And it is a beautiful experience to be able to know what that is in all of its intricacies, you know, and be able to know that you can do it. You know, you can absolutely do it. And all we really need to do is tap into our strength, tap into our breath, you know, and not over dramatize birthing as usually is done throughout the media, you know, throughout movies and shows and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be over dramatized. It definitely is an experience that is powerfully beautiful, you know. And for those women that are interested, there's a documentary out there. If I'm getting the name right, it's called The Business of Birthing, which will give some good information about, you know, the process of birthing in hospitals and, you know, how the hospitals really monetize off of birthing. And in this particular instance, I feel that going the less expensive route, which is ultimately birthing at home, is more conducive and more beneficial to mom and baby, to the family as a whole, especially if you have a good support system that can help you, a strong sisterhood, you know, and put those people in place that can help support you within this rite of passage, you know, and really think about tapping into that energy of our anciency, you know, mentally placing ourselves in a space where we're surrounded with all the mothers of creation, you know, all the women that have come forward and through which, you know, we now rise and are able to be empowered and to move forward within our power and our fullness and all of our creative abilities.
All right, that was very interesting. So we want to move on, get a little bit more personal into what you like to do. So what are your favorite hobbies, things that you like to do besides comedic yoga?
That's funny that you mentioned aside from comedic yoga, because I really love practicing and learning, exploring and discovering different aspects related to yoga, specifically comedic yoga. But now, since you asked aside from that, I really like being among nature, within nature, among the trees, near water, you know, like to be, you know, maybe sitting on a rock somewhere, you know, sitting on some grass, you know, maybe with a journal, with a cup of tea, maybe just gazing, you know, and enjoying some sunlight. Sometimes, you know, when long periods pass that I'm not in a natural environment, you know, such as the winter, I feel it. Oh, I feel it heavily. And there's this yearning for me to be near a natural space. So I really enjoy that, even if it's just a stroll or a drive. I love hiking. I don't do it as often, but I definitely enjoy it very, very much. I love being in very natural environments. It's something very healing and soothing about it for me. I love watching live performances, whether that be music performances, singing, poetry. And I like writing poetry as well, although I haven't been producing as much lately. I definitely enjoy the word sound. I find that now my meditation classes have become my spoken word, which I think is a beautiful blessing to speak to the people with healing vibrations. That is a beautiful thing. I love spending time with my family, love spending time with my king, with my children. You know, I love spending time with my sisters. You know, I love building, collaborating with positive and like minds. Let's see what else. I love reading. I love developing or exposing myself to self-development tools, techniques, lectures, books, speeches. I love to cook. I love discovering new dishes. Actually, right now, in this stage that I am right now, I kind of like to cook. I prefer right now, actually, that someone else cook for me. It's like the stage I'm going through. So I like eating out from time to time. I like finding plant-based restaurants that we can go to so I may learn of new dishes. Right. I like to go to workshops, lectures, you know, and I love to present. I love to present. I really do like to present information to a population of people. What else? I like to play rough. with Hannibal. I think he likes it more than I do, but you know, I'm like a tomboy at heart, you know, only daughter. I have two older brothers and three younger brothers, for my dad's second marriage. So it's like I'm the only girl. Dad always referred to me as the golden egg. And I loved climbing fences and running and jumping and stuff like that. So I like doing things and not too extreme. I'm not quite there yet, you know. But you know, like indoor rock climbing. You know, I like jumping around. You know, my children are fortunate that I am that way, because when we spend time in playgrounds, for example, I was not the parent sitting down on a bench allowing the children to go run. I would run right behind them, climb and slide and all of that stuff. So I like being active. And likewise, I like to be quiet. You know, I like to be in a quiet space. I don't always have to have technology on. I don't always have to have TV on. I don't always have to have music on. I'm working on detaching from the social world, social media and stuff like that. Whether my participation or my observing in it. But I definitely can be in a quiet space for a period of time and not, you know, feel like I need a distraction, you know? So I really like that. I like to travel on long trains. I don't necessarily like long drives if I'm driving. Yeah, and you know, at this point right now, I just really like community, you know. I like being around, again, positive minds that are doing something to strengthen our families and communities.
Me and all your listeners know that Kemetic Yoga is a big part of your life, but what got you started on the pathways toward mastery of Kemetic Yoga?
My journey toward Kemetic Yoga actually started some years ago. And I feel that it started within my first experiences with Tai Chi. Now, when I first went to college, I had a lot of different experiences, and I had some exposure to Tai Chi and Qigong. And some information came across my awareness regarding Reiki. But in that time, I really did not, you know, dive deep. I did not seek too much. It was just information that was around me, you know. So they were little bits and pieces of information that came to me within that time. And eventually, years later, when I became a mother, you know, I was going through a very difficult time, just mentally, emotionally, and I needed a way out. So in that time, you, Elijah, my first fruit, I had enlisted you in a martial arts school, and there was always something within me that gravitated toward or had some kind of inclination toward the martial arts. You know, I remember Saturday morning kung fu flicks, you know, back in the day, that my brothers used to watch, and you know, naturally I too watched. So there was always something, just something about the martial arts that resonated with me. And so when Elijah, when you were in martial arts, you know, I mean, I always enjoyed your journey, but at the same time, I always had this feeling like I want to be in there too. So eventually, I asked, you know, if they have classes for women. And Sifu Suleiman, which was one of the instructors there, he wasn't really teaching that I know of there, but I know he was just regularly present at that space. He eventually expressed, you know, that he would start a class, and his background is in Kung Fu and Tai Chi. So he eventually created a class that fused these two, and I became part of the class. It was a small class, and for me, it was like everything. You know, I would rather be there than anywhere else. So when you would go to the martial arts class as an after school program, and you were still very young in that time. So when you would go as an after school program, we just would stay there, and I would take my classes later on in the evening. And honestly, I really didn't want to leave until late at night, you know. So it was a very intense training. I feel like I gave so much of myself, and I grew so much in the process because it came natural to me. And again, it was my outlet. It was my way to redirect some negative energies that I was dealing with within that time. So it was a very functional and positive way to utilize the different experiences that I was dealing with in that time, as opposed to being destructive to myself or to others. It was a very stressful time, so the practice allowed me a way to channel that vibration and that energy. So then after that time, we moved and my practice, you know, kind of ended aside from sporadic practices. And then I started doing yoga at home, you know, cause then naturally I gravitated toward yoga as, you know, just this gentle internal art. You know, I've always had this inclination toward the internal arts. That's why the Tai Chi and the Kung Fu was really, my thing. So then it graduated into yoga, where I would pop into a class from time to time, do some stuff at home. And this awareness of an African-based yoga came into my experience. You know, I was at the International African Arts Festival vending in that time. And, you know, this brother and his queen came through, gave me a flyer, talked to me about what they're doing. And that brother was IT Blues and his queen Bantu, you know. So eventually we connected, and eventually I took a class with him and a training with him and the brother Netar Ankh, based in Atlanta, Georgia. And that was the Egyptian yoga certification program. The Tefnut Terusi Mapau, which means the divine movements of the gods and goddesses. So that was the first certification program that I went through. And if I'm not mistaken, that was in 2015, if I'm not mistaken. So, and then, you know, I kept learning and, you know, just kind of exploring. And honestly, the Kemetic Yoga Skills program, led by Master Yasir Rahotep, was in my awareness before the Egyptian yoga training. But because the Egyptian yoga training, Tefnut Terusi Mapau, was more accessible to me within the time in terms of price and location, I decided, let me go ahead and do this first. So I went through that certification, and soon after, you know, I began teaching. So it was a 200-hour certification program offered through Natural Brilliance. And that's a company run by Basu Netar Ankh. And IT Blues was like his co-teacher. So we had lectures, we had webinars, we had weekly practice. And it was really, you know, constant and a long journey. Let's see. So eventually, the Kemetic Yoga program, Kemetic Yoga Skills program, kept coming into my awareness, and the opportunity opened itself, you know, for me to go get trained in the Kemetic Yoga Skills method in Jamaica. And for me, that was perfect because I needed a retreat, I needed to be in nature, and I needed a certification program that was registered with the Yoga Alliance. And you know, I just wanted to have more experience, more knowledge, more experience, more tools to work with the different communities of people that I was engaged with. You know, I was in dealing with folks that had, you know, different injuries, you know, issues with weight. You know, I needed to obtain a variety, more of a variety to offer them. So the Kemetic Yoga Skills method certification program just was perfect for me. And so, you know, I went to that training, Now we're talking about that was the summer of 2017, if I'm not mistaken. And that was just an awesome experience. I mean, it was just an awesome experience. The group that was out there was just dynamic and beautiful. You know, it was raw food the whole time. You know, with Chef Jason Ice, rest in peace, and Power. You know, it was just beautiful for me. It was what I needed within that time. And even after the training, I continued my raw journey for a good 30 days after. So it was just cleansing and fortifying and nurturing and informative. And the practice was so strong. My practice was so strong and so grounding within that time, you know. Then I just continued teaching. Yeah, so it's been upward and onward ever since. You know, at this point, I'm really seeking to be certified in prenatal yoga. And that's another one of those things that I was interested in before, and the opportunity had just not presented itself yet for me to go ahead and pursue certification for different dynamics, whether that be work, family schedule, finances, whatever. But now that'll be like my next journey to add on to what I have gained so far. And you know, which is constantly growing within the field.
Wow, I can tell that Tai Chi has a whole lot of links to Kemetic Yoga. So what attracted you to Tai Chi?
Before I speak on that, actually, I'd like to touch on what attracted me to a African-based spirituality, philosophy, and practice. So I recognize the fact that the cradle of civilization is Africa. You know, the beginning of man and woman, original man and woman walking in the flesh, you know, in the divine nature, began within that continent. You know, so we're talking about architecture, we're talking about arts, we're talking about science, mathematics, we're talking about spirituality, you know, we're talking about writing, literature, you know, the beginnings, astrology, if I didn't mention that already, the beginnings of these things are rooted within Africa. And I, within my understanding and my perspective, throughout time, history and experience, the influence, the African influence has spread throughout the land, throughout the world. And this, just by the natural nature of man in terms of moving around, living nomadic lives, you know, exploration, but also due to colonialism. And so coming from a Caribbean background, my parents being, you know, from Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, I have had this tendency to be to resonate more with the origins of men, right? And so when I practiced yoga and when I began to learn more about an African-based science, I thought to myself that it would be only right to bring it home, to bring the practice back home, you know, to bring it back to its original state, you know, and to connect it with the philosophies and principles of the original man and woman, you know, of the earth. So that is initially what drew me toward an African-based practice. Now, the Tai Chi ties in for me because I began some kind of journey with some influence and some information about the Eastern sciences in terms of Tai Chi and energy and Qigong and, you know, things of this nature. And so this concept of energy, the fact that we are all composed of energy, all creation is composed of energy, and energy is not destroyed. So we're not only incorporating Eastern philosophy or African-based sciences, but also physics, you know, metaphysics. We're talking about the fact that all things are composed of energy. Nothing or energy cannot be destroyed. It can only transform, transmute. And the fact that our bodies are, just by nature of that description, also made of energy, it is important for us to understand that science and learn how to control this temple, control the energy flowing through our body, control our thoughts, control our breath, control our movements, control our actions and behaviors, and control ultimately our lives, you know, our experience. And so within Kemetic Yoga Skills Method, there is heavy influence, heavy, there is heavy emphasis, excuse me, on the breath of life, life force, chi, ki, however way you want to refer to it, right? This life force energy flows through our body, and by tapping into our breath, we're able to tap into that power, that infinite power and potential. By doing so, we are in tune with our divine nature, and this is where I start bringing in some of the personal development principles as well, you know. So in my life, I kind of make connections across the board, right? And so we utilize these concepts, and then we also tap in the spirituality and the philosophy of ancient Kemet, which is fundamentally based in Ma'at, which means balance, order, harmony, truth, reciprocity. And we strive toward living our lives in such a way, you know, so we're constantly living in a way to graduate toward our higher selves. And this is in mind, in spirit, in body. You know, so we're talking about our thoughts. We're talking about our behaviors and actions. You know, everything is connected. So that, I find, is also within Tai Chi, as it is within, you know, our African-based sciences. And the relationship from Africa and Asia is definitely there. You know, again, when we know the cradle of civilization is Africa, and we understand, you know, the influence of Africa throughout the whole world, you get to see the connections. Like, for example, you get to see martial arts inscripted on the Mentu Netor, or the walls of ancient Kemet, you know? And Brother Kwesi, Ashra Kwesi, speaks on this, for example, and his wife, right? You know, the great scholars of our, you know, our time have also spoken about the links of certain things always dating back to Africa, you know? Within the Kemetic Yoga Skills Method, the practice is a lot slower than most yoga practices. And again, because of this emphasis on moving energy, I associate it with what I've been exposed to in terms of Tai Chi.
Wow, I can tell that you're a very well-rounded woman with a whole lot of skills. So, you know what? This has been a great interview for me. I hope it has been the same for you.
Give thanks. I really do appreciate you taking the time and interviewing me and crafting these questions and just diving in a little deeper in this Who Am I episode. I really appreciated the journey and the opportunity to build. Thank you also. You know, I always tell you guys that find what you enjoy. You know, find what you really enjoy, what resonates with you, and just do it. Because the more you do it, the more you become an expert at it. And when you're able to become an expert in any field of your particular interest, you therefore will become successful in that field, and you will never work a day in your life. So that's what I'm striving toward. I'm really striving toward incorporating my life experiences, which is a journey of wellness, which is a journey of healing, you know, which is a journey of upliftment and inspiration. And I want to continue to build myself and my skills so that I may serve the people, because I feel these are things that we all need, especially in this time. So I appreciate, you know, the balance in your participation in this interview. And I really look forward to having you on again, because I think your voice is really cool. You ask some great questions, and I just like the exchange. I know we experienced a little bit of technical difficulties, but, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And you definitely showed initiative, and I definitely do appreciate this time. I pray that our listening audience enjoyed all that we've shared today. And, you know, just tune in and subscribe, and, you know, stay tuned, because we're just going to be feeding you some more. We're just going to be giving you some more content related to some of the topics that we touched on today. And again, we're going to continue building on wellness, on health, on prosperity, on life skills, on comedic yoga, on breath work, on energy, you know, just and on and on and on, you know, food for the spirit, you know, food for thought and food for the spirit. So give thanks.
Well, I really enjoyed this interview. It was my first time interviewing you. I really liked it. I would love to do it again. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, there you have it. Who am I? Hope you got to know a little bit more about me and my family and our journey. And don't forget, drop me a line, you know, send me a message. You can always email me at fruitsoflife@gmail.com, and let me know what you'd like to hear more about. Give me your comments. How did you enjoy Elijah being on the line today? And also, don't forget, I would really like to know what it is that you are engraving in stone, right? What are you engraving in stone? What are you teaching your children? How are you raising them? You know, give me some of your feedback, you know. And what else? What fruits are you producing? I'm giving y'all homework, y'all. Let this be an exchange so we can build together, okay? And again, would you like to hear Elijah once again? You know, we're going to tweak out the issues that we're having with the technology. So soon he can be actually live and on the line with me to co-host. We're really looking forward to some great, great programs for you. And of course, we love to hear from you. So until such time, may you breathe deeply and may you be free. We did a lot of talking today, so we didn't get too much into the breath work and meditation today. But trust and know, it is coming. All right? Talk to me. Talk to you soon. Peace and blessings. Hatep.